From the Town Fair Tire Studio, the Sports Hub, the home of the New England Patriots.
Go Patriots!
98.5, the Sports Hub, WBZFM HD, Boston, a Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox back to work tonight. They host the Blue Jays in the first of three. Chris Sale will be on the mound for two innings tonight as he makes his most recent return from the DL. Patriots reportedly making a couple of signings today. Former first-round wide receiver Corey Coleman and another wide receiver, former Bronco Benny Fowler. Last night, both John Gruden and Matt Patricia lost their coaching debuts with their new teams. Raiders lost to the Rams 33-13, while the Jets beat the Lions 48-17. Matt Patricia, anything good?
I would say after a game like this, I don't think anything's really a good thing. So, I mean, I think we got to do what we got to do. It's a short week. It is what it is. We're going to go back to work and get ready to go.
Yeah. As for the Patriots, they'll visit the Jaguars on Sunday. Bruins making a trade today. Don Sweeney announcing that the team has traded Adam McQuaid. The defenseman is headed to the Rangers in exchange for another defenseman, Stephen Kampfer, a 2019 fourth-round draft pick, and a conditional seventh-round pick also in 2019. Keegan Bradley beat Justin Rose in the first playoff hole yesterday. He ended up winning the rain-delayed BMW Championship. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gabbert going to give it to Lewis. Bouncing his way. Turning his way. Touchdown, Titans! The little man breaks the plane.
Niners 3 of 7 on third down. Third and 8 from their own 20. Garoppolo, short drop, passes right. It's intercepted inside the 25.
Gesicki wide left. There's the fade, and it's intercepted. Intercepted by the Titans. 10, 20, 30, and falling down is Butler as he gets to the 35. Terrible throw.
Number two, Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe with us. Dan Shaughnessy is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com. You just heard some of the highlights from the weekend. Former Patriot players, now with their new teams. Who do we think did the best out of the bunch? I'm guessing that would have to be Malcolm Butler.
I mean,
Butler had the best weekend.
You're going to give touchdowns up.
Yeah. Nate Solder did not look so great in New York. Had some issues.
D.O. Lewis probably
killed
had
by the Giants
weekend.
Fans. Oh yeah, Lewis. That's right too.
70. I think he had what 70 yards or whatever, and got a touchdown. Yeah.
Deion Lewis with the Titans as well, along with Butler, Nate Solder in New York, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G in San Francisco. Three picks and a loss for Garoppolo. His first loss as an NFL starter out of the gate. Dan, do you think for all the times that a former Patriot hasn't gone on to have great success, it feels like there's the potential for these guys to actually go and play well somewhere else.
Yes, it does. And I mean, it's interesting that we get obsessed with that too, that we care. I mean, the Garoppolo thing, we're always going to care about. That's kind of its own
category.
That's
a big one. That's a big one.
I mean, that's its own category.
Well, even Butler too. You could go Garoppolo 1, Butler 1A.
But I mean, do you think, either of you guys think that fans are rooting against Butler? Because I don't.
No.
I would hope not.
I don't think anybody's rooting against anybody.
Oh, I think sometimes there's that. And again, the crew of guys you just mentioned, probably none. You know, they certainly do it with baseball players. I mean, and again, going to the Yanks is part of it. You know, Johnny Damon or Roger Clemens, or it's like, we hate them now. Wade Boggs, we hate them. And I don't see any need to turn on anybody here, you know, when they go. I mean, was there any Patriot that ever got Vinatieri? He got that.
Oh, he got booed.
Yeah. And that's
funny. Yeah,
that's like ridiculous. I find that ridiculous.
You know, that was a tough one. Well, he went to the Colts with Manning. See, it's that Manning Brady effect.
Yeah,
that's what if Adam went anywhere else and played, he probably wouldn't have gotten booed.
I mean, like Browner, like nobody, people, and Butler should be celebrated here, as Vinatieri should be celebrated here. Those guys delivered Super Bowl championships to you, and you thank them forever. But you couldn't watch that Monday night game without. I mean, Matt Patricia's in your face the whole game. Sorry, Hardy, we have to do some of this, but I mean, it was.
No, we've been doing it for an hour.
It was just.
He doesn't care.
Sure, he does. Look at him.
I mean, he should have been wearing the Roger Goodell clown shirt last night. You know, that would have been because last night.
Oh,
he's the clown.
That's a zinger. That's a great one, Dan. You think Goodell was on his lazy boy kicking back going, ha, ha, ha,
ha. Yeah. Who's the clown now?
Goodell should have been wearing a Matt Patricia clown shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Someone should make those.
That. I mean, completely like ill-equipped.
Who's the clown now, that guy?
You sell a lot of them to 345 Park.
Wow. And, I mean, piling on, the ESPN, just the crowd shots. Sorry, Hardy, again, but... It was like it was comical. People are filing out, their thumbs down, and they're just spitting stuff at him.
Oh, just drunk and pissed off and depressed.
And it's just the third quarter of that game was really a highlight reel of suck. You know, I mean, for them, it just it never goes away. And again, I sympathize. I want them to be good. One playoff win since 1957. Which is still staggering, and they keep citing, you know, they haven't won a playoff game since 91, but how about one in 61 years? Sorry.
Yeah, I like the one in my lifetime thing. I don't care what happened before
years.
I was born, but I mean, I was around for quite a while before that win in 91, and I've seen them win one playoff game.
One playoff game.
One.
You beat the Cowboys, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wayne on Fox. A bad call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking you lost to the Cowboys on a back call. That's
oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's that, too.
There's always that.
That's
yeah,
horrendous.
I mean, there's the one game they got jobbed by the referees. But other than
Romo
that,
won a playoff game.
It's all on them.
But to the larger point, with Patricia last night, and it's one game sample, although it doesn't look good. But with the coaching tree of Belichick, I mean, it really hasn't translated. And going back to O'Brien... Just, throwing up on his shoes here 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we talked a little bit about it yesterday, why Josh McDaniels was maybe a little more willing to accept that OC job coming back. Is like, you know what? I've been a head coach. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
You know, Romeo, Mangini, we can go down the roster.
Yeah, I thought Bill O'Brien was going to be a win.
I did, too,
and I'm starting to rethink that.
That was bad. I'm sorry. I'm not one of the guys who turns down the TV sound and listens to the radio.
Yeah.
You know, I should do that when you're on. But what were you doing at the end of that half when they didn't...
Killing him. Crushing him. I said, you totally mismanaged the final. The double score set for you. It's a 14-6 game.
Could have been 14-9.
The stupid quarterback underthrew a guy 5 yards on a Hail Mary.
The old double score there.
And not only that, Dan, he got the ball back. And even after the Gronkowski catch, I said, how are they not looking at this? How are you not stopping the clock?
Oh, my God. I mean...
Here's the thing. He coached that quarterback.
He told them to do this.
Guys, on big plays down the field, if we hit it, if it's questionable, we're going to rush up and snap it. He's ingrained in the system. That should be in his head.
It was unbelievable. And
McFly,
they're pulling his pants down on national television, and he's got nothing. And then after the game, when he's asked about it, I'm not going to do the league's job for him. Are you kidding me? You think Belichick would say that?
No.
He hates the league. You know, what good is it to call the league on Monday and say you should have, buzzed that and given us a look there? No, you've got to take matters into your own hands. You got three in your pocket. You know what they're going to do. You've taught Tom Brady to do this. It was unbelievable. The explanation, I said, can they fire this guy at halftime? And I know he just got a 5-year deal. He's a good coach and all that stuff like that. But it was like, I mean, and just to have the thing when, like Zoe said, when you've got the ball and, 4 minutes left, whatever. Maybe you can get a field goal.
You're on the road at Gillette. You got to take your shots. You got to take your shots, and you got to gamble, and you got to go for it.
From Bill Belichick's perspective, though, Dan, he looks better when the other coaches look good, when the coaches go elsewhere and look good, and the players go elsewhere and look bad. Right?
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, interchangeable. It's all, but he's starting to look good in every case because when the other coaches go somewhere, and it's not that easy to be Bill Belichick, he looks even better. His stature has never been higher than it is in my book.
Imagine if McDaniels took the Colts job and they got smoked the way they did.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the head coach.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I am Team Bill I'm just in a big, big way. It's worse than ever, or better than ever, whatever you want to call it.
You surprised the way the game went? Because everybody picked the Texans. And now all of a sudden, it's ho-hum. People are categorizing this as a ho-hum type win. Why?
The only moment in that game that was competitive was the Patriots 3-and-out. You're thinking, oh, maybe we got something here.
Oh, the 3
and
straight
as soon
runs?
As they put the ball on the rug on the other side, it's
the
like,
next play of the
here
game.
We go. Yeah. Here we go. You had 6 months to get ready for this. And you put the ball on the floor
your
the first play of your season.
Yeah, you turn it over in your own
that,
head, it was, the red zone in the first
I'm like,
play.
Here we go. And I resisted, you know, any references. To
why are the Globe guys getting all sensitive about their picks on this game? Everyone took the Texans. What's the big deal?
They were all picking against the spread, first
of
all.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
I mean, that was not.
Why, don't you
why are they getting all sensitive?
It ended, they were within a half point of being right.
Your guy Gasper put out a tweet that I was on a paid vacation.
Bolin, what the hell is with all your people getting so sensitive about it?
Is this a Globe thing? You're not allowed to contact anybody for a paid vacation?
Never been sensitive about a pick being wrong.
Have you ever detailed you're on a paid vacation? A paid vacation that you paid for that you will not refer or defer, go back and communicate with anybody over on the mainland.
Okay, if you don't know what Zoe's talking about, I'll tell you what he's talking about. I'll read it for you. I'll read it for you next. We'll get to your football calls, and we will get to the Red Sox later this hour. Stay tuned.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zoe leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I can hear the merry gypsy play. Mama, mama, I look at Amaru. She's a playing with the radio. La 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 la.
617-779-0985. Zoe is so confused right now.
I don't know what's going on.
So
I can help out here.
Help out, Dan.
All right, so that's the great Van Morrison. Zoe knows that.
I know Van Morrison.
And Beatles going to see him at the Pavilion tonight.
Oh!
Under the tent.
I didn't know that.
Again,
I thought about that. There's always, as Hardy knows, there's always a possibility that Van's going to, you know, give the crowd the finger and turn his back and just not engage at all and not play anything anybody knows. And well, he's not.
Springsteen, yeah.
No, he's
a crusty guy.
He's an artist, and there are just days when it's too bad. If you don't like it, too bad. Here's what I'm doing, that's it. So you have to be prepared for that. But he's a legitimate god. Hardy, you agree with that, right?
Oh, yeah. But also, and Beatle, you and I have talked about this before, because you've seen him before, haven't you?
Right.
Yeah, he will go and
sing. No, I haven't seen
him. Okay, well, but you know this. You know enough about him to know that if for... You know, by some strange reason, he plays one of his hits tonight. If he does Brown Eyed Girl, he is going to sing it in a way that will be unrecognizable.
Right.
It hits.
Good. Because if he plays it in a recognizable fashion, it'll be garbage, and I don't want that.
Right.
Perfect. If he's going to waste a song on Brown Eyed Girl tonight, he's going to waste my time.
But even
with
like
that,
your favorites.
Then I'm going to be upset if he doesn't play it in a weird way.
Your favorites that are also hits. I mean, for me,
why do they get weird?
It would be Into the Mystic, right? Which is my favorite.
And,
but when he sings that tonight, if he does, chances are it will be in a way that you are not familiar with.
That's okay.
And you have referenced two songs that both have Boston connections to his Boston days. He was either living in Cambridge or Boston. He was here in his youth in the 60s for a spell in school or something. And Into the Mystic is, of course, it's the Little Mystic.
I didn't know that.
It is. That's here. That's
what's
ours.
Little Mystic?
A Mystic
the river.
River
underneath the Tobin Bridge.
Oh, God.
No, not the movie. The River.
That movie was good.
That's Brown Eyed Girl making love in the green grass. That was
it's Harvard Stadium.
Oh, and he actually
green grass stadium.
Behind the stadium.
Did it.
Right.
Yep.
Wow. And when I was a little kid, we used to think he was saying UMass Brown Eyed Girl, because that's just how it sounded when we were kids. We all knew all these UMass, you know, it was like, too bad. So that was that. But Beatle, I wish you the best. It's for a young guy to be going to that show, I admire you all the more. It's unusual, good old guy taste for a young guy.
Yeah, so. By the way, if you're going tonight, he goes on at 8. I just got an email from
He goes on when there. He feels like it.
He goes, he won't be on before 8, because there's always this concern that he wants to get in and get out and be done with the night, and off he goes.
What a
right?
bitch.
Because he plays early.
Like, people are coming to pay
he
you
plays
to play,
early,
pal.
And he leaves. So,
really?
You know, because the ticket would say 7, and there was a concern. I had a concern that he would go on at 7, because he's one of those guys. He goes on early, gets out early, and the night is done. See
kind
you
of
later.
A mind screw, man. Wow. It's like going to Blue Man Group.
One of the local promoters here, just a quick story.
Yes.
A Brian Wilson story. I may have told you guys this one.
No, I don't think we've heard
this. So, did you see Brian Wilson when he was at the tent a year or two ago? Okay. No. I mean, he's a legitimate rock god. He's also catatonic a good portion of the time.
You know, it's not the Beach Boy?
Yeah, yeah. Brian Wilson. He's the genius of the Beach Boys. But, you know, he's... I don't know what happened. But
he ain't there.
Just, no, this is
something happened.
Yeah,
the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Ooh, it is. It's a lot. but they prop him up and they got the band and it all works and he's brilliant the whole bit. So he's over there. This was a local promoter told me this story. There was a big fundraiser that he was at and Bono was at the thing. And, you know, Bono was being so reverent because, you know, songwriting, Brian Wilson, it was seismic. It was game changer for so many people.
Well, Pet Sounds.
Bono is
this guy doing?
Bono gets to
genius.
Gets to meet him, and he's gushing about how much influence he had in his career and how he worships him. And oh, thank you so much. If there's ever anything I can do for you, Mr. Wilson, you know, please. And Brian Wilson says to Bono, "Yeah, can you get me a Diet Coke over there?" You know, like having no idea who he was talking to.
Awesome. Can Bono get him the Coke?
I don't know that part of it, you know, but yeah, that's on good authority, but. That'll be great tonight. So, Zoe, that's the explanation for the good little tune coming in. Mm-hmm. That was it.
617-779-0985.
What's your problem with the Globe prognosticators?
So what happened?
Sensitivity.
So everyone there at the Globe
picks
the Texans plus the points on Sunday, right? Across the board.
Was it 6.5 or 6?
Who cares?
So they were all close.
So
well, I would have said it was 6.5, right, but so I think in the paper it listed it as 6. They can listen to six.
6 for 6.
Big whoops.
Half
you got
point.
The pick wrong. Who cares? Who cares? You're off by a point. Point and a half if you had it at 6.
But they responded on Twitter to people.
They're very, this very is, upset. Yeah. They must have been hearing it from all these whiny fans that get mad about such items.
Oh, my God.
Right? I mean,
mad.
That's what there are those folks on Twitter.
Dan, if you responded to every person that attacked you on Twitter.
So I almost retweeted this. The first tweet I sent, I think it was off the kickoff, you know, the usual, you know, stuff. And it was like,
ooh, they're learning.
It was like, you know, Shank, get cancer and die or something like that.
What?
Like,
yeah,
maybe
yeah,
I should
that's
send
Twitter.
This out around everybody.
Jesus.
It's like, yeah, it's like they are of no mood for any frivolity on that. So, yeah, you can't react. You can't engage. You can't worry about, you know.
Gasper, all kinds of upset. Brian Hurst on Twitter says, I'm a big fan of your work, but curious how did you come to the conclusion that the Texans were going to take this game this past week? Watson, in his first game back from injury on the road playing the Patriots, was more lopsided than the score indicated. Gasper responded.
Wait a minute.
Oh, this is a mistake.
He prefaced it with,
no, this
I'm
is,
a fan of your work?
Yes. This is the first one. This isn't all of them. And he said, I was really going to ignore these you picked the Texans tweets, but nah. One, I didn't pick the Texans. I was in Europe on vacation. I authorized the Globe to make the picks for me just for week one. Two, the picks are always against the spread, not outright winners. Third, I've never received one of these complaints when I've actually picked the Patriots to win and they've lost, like in Super Bowl 42 and two other Super Bowls. Not once. No one ever brings up an incorrect pick when you pick the Patriots to outright win a game and they lose. Lame. he used the vacation excuse.
It's like, dog ate my homework. We're like, I was on vacation out of the country.
I'm going to get, and Volman had similar stuff.
You know what, that's
Volman,
what you get.
Volman was taking the heat,
and
too.
And that's what you get for going on vacation during freaking football season when you know you're doing a pregame show.
I was on Football Fix on Friday, and I picked the Texans plus the 6.5.
Okay.
I was wrong. You know why I picked the Texans plus 6.5?
Why did you do that?
I thought they'd be better.
Yeah.
They weren't. They suck.
No.
My bad.
Now,
I screwed up.
Were you in the country or not doing that show?
I was here. I was in the country.
That's
I went
deal.
To nearly every training camp practice. I was fully into every preseason game. I took a good hard look at the Texans. I thought, you know what? They can come here and they can cover.
Well,
they didn't. They weren't that good.
I had them 21-17.
What are you getting mad about?
I had Patriots 21-17.
Why'd you pick
so I would have taken the
how
Texans.
How dare
spread.
You pick the Texans, Globe, guys? Get over
I gotta,
it.
I got to talk to my
Grow
man, Chris
up.
Gasper. We got to talk to Chris Gasper with all due respect.
Volan's just as bad. Volan's
yeah,
started
no,
chastising people, too.
But Beetle, I could be in a...
Volan
in a,
thrives on this.
I could be in a cave in Bora Bora. I could be with those poor kids who are... Where were they in across the world in the cave?
I'll say Chile.
Yeah, the boy.
Oh, the Chilean.
I could have been with them. I could have picked this game.
Oh no, that was like Asian.
That was yeah. That was
how did we forget that so early? They're gonna make movies about it.
Yeah. That was Phuket.
The boys.
Right?
Anyway, you don't need to
where
be
was that?
Like on the continent to pick the Patriots Texans game. I mean, do you?
Oh, so then someone else.
Thailand.
This is the Volan one.
Thailand.
Was.
Someone tweeted, "Stay hot, Ben Volan and the rest of the globe," and circled a picture of the actual printed paper. Good for this guy.
I saw
still
that.
Buying papers.
I saw that.
Right? Yeah, so it's Volan, Thurston, Princiotti, McBride, Gasper, all picking Houston with their spread.
Row.
The listed spread was 6. They all took the Texans plus 6. And so this guy's poking fun at the globe. And Volan says, "Remarkable how so many people don't understand the concept of betting against the spread. The line was 6. The Patriots won by 7. Oh, well." Everyone's then like, "No, no, we get it. You still lost."
Yeah.
But still.
Only by one point.
Why does that matter? Why does it matter? Why do you people care? Yeah, it would be one thing if they won like 62 to, you know, 2. But it was a one score game at the end.
You know, Beetle, back in the days when John Henry still liked me, I was at his house for dinner once.
When was that?
And after dinner, we went into his den, and
how big was the den?
He had
his bats
he
in
had
his
a,
house.
He had this giant screen that he must, you know, he has all the stocks and everything on it all day.
Yeah.
And but he had a deep dive research, on all the predictions of like the last 15 years. By the Globe writers and the Herald writers, and like, you know, that we do.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me like predictions on like the market and like
no. Just like, you know, the stupid baseball things that we do preseason, you know, like, and who had performed well. It was like, I was like, of course, I was the worst. I missed everything every year, you know, I didn't care, but I was stunned at the data gathering on that was there. So when you're picking for the Herald or the Globe, That's being logged. This algorithm
that was that. Prominently displayed in the den.
He was able to access it quickly to show me how poorly I had performed in the last 20 years with my preseason picks.
Of all the things to pay attention to and obsess
over. Remember, like in Rocky Four Rocky Four or Three, when he had a robot, a little comes walking down with this Paulie's little friend. Does he have a robot in his house?
No, no. He was a nice man. Made dinner for us.
Happy birthday, Paulie.
Wow.
Andrew in Manchester, I think, has a fabulous point. Bring it up, Andrew. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
So based on Sam Darnold's performance last night, do you think it was a mistake by the Giants passing on him? I mean, granted, it was against a horrendous Lions defense, but what do you guys think?
Andrew, I think this is awesome. I'm glad you brought it up. Last night is just one game. We're going to overreact. But the fact that Darnold looks like the guy he was hyped up to be, I thought it was wrong at the time that the Giants chose to go with Saquon Barkley overtaking a quarterback. But this is hard for me because I hate the Jets. I do. And I think Sam Darnold is going to be good. And I actually like Sam Darnold as a player.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked him when he was SC.
I did too. It was, you know, I don't watch a ton of college football anymore, but he was a guy that I kept an eye on last year.
Redheaded freak. Yep.
And so
he came out as a freshman.
I want to root for the player. I don't want to root for the Jets. But I also want to root for him to be great and for the Giants to continue to suck because they were so stupid to take a running back. I want them to suck because of that pick, and I want them to watch their crosstown team have success because they picked the right guy.
I share some
I
of
want
that.
That.
New Broadway show.
It's in a weird dynamic, but I want to do that.
It is, and they had the chance, too. You had the chance. You can't even sell me on, you already got Eli in that because Eli's towards the end. And this isn't the old days where it's Jamarcus Russell and you got $35, $40 million guaranteed and the kid's going to whiz it away. You're slotted.
This could have been their Jimmy G. You know, they could have had Eli and this guy.
And you hold the kid for 5 years.
Yeah,
you get 5 year commitment.
Could have done that. Yep. So here's a question for you, quarterback question. So in that unlistenable broadcast last night, was Greasy the color man?
Yes.
Okay, Brian Greasy.
Brian Greasy.
Did he go to Dartmouth? Was he Dartmouth?
No, Dolphins? Michigan.
Michigan. Oh, was he part of the Brady thing when Brady first got there?
He was there when Brady got there.
Yeah, he was in the way when Brady got there. Okay, so.
Hurry this up, Dan.
Okay, all right. The first pick. When he's going the other side of the field, he's running one way and he throws it there. Greasy made a big thing. Like, you're all taught from the time you're 4 years old.
Cardinal said, never throw it across the field.
Yeah, but Darnold can do that. He can boot left or right. He is good at doing it.
Yeah,
in fact, he continued to do it in that game.
Ball hangs. You get in trouble there. Get in trouble at this level.
It was trouble that day.
Yeah.
I think he's going to continue to do it, and I think he should continue
Loved
to
him.
Do it. Most guys, yes, you're right. But I think he can pull it off. And he's going to risk a few picks along the way, but... I think he's good.
Loved it.
I think he's good. All right, let's get to the Red Sox. More of your football calls, of course, as well. We've got more to get to with Dan. And we do want to touch on the Sox, who had an interesting weekend. Certainly Friday night's game was something to keep an eye on.
The whole weekend was great.
And now Chris Sale's coming back tonight.
Yeah,
great night tonight. You've got to watch it half hour.
Yeah, we'll mix all that in next with Dan.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox get back to work tonight. Homestand continues. It's the first of three against the Blue Jays. Chris Sale will be on the mound for at least the for just the first two innings as he works his way back from his most recent DL stint. Some Bruins news today. Don Sweeney announcing the team has traded defenseman Adam McQuaid to the Rangers.
Very difficult day for me personally and for the organization as well. We want to thank Adam, a tremendous Bruin, a tremendous teammate. Very, as I said, difficult decision. The timing before leaving for China presented an opportunity for Adam to get to the Rangers and start right from square one with a new team. I think that was part of it. We've gone back and forth for a little while.
In exchange, the Rangers send Stephen Kampfer, a 2019 fourth rounder and a conditional seventh rounder in that same draft. Two games last night to wrap up NFL Week 1. Raiders losing to the Rams 33-13. Lions lost to the Jets 48-17. Patriots, meanwhile, visit the Jaguars on Sunday. They're making a couple of signings today. Wide receivers Corey Coleman and Benny Fowler joining the team. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters, where the food is hot, the beer is cold, and the game is on. Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, The Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, The Sports Hub app.
Sox dropped 2 of 3 over the weekend to the Astros, Dan. Friday night, bullpen implosion.
Sunday night, bullpen implosion.
But they bring in La Bamba?
They did win on Sunday night, though.
Yes. Well, and Price pitched so great on Friday. So, I mean, it was good.
And they flushed it down the toilet.
It was good and bad in all those games. I could watch those two teams play forever. And it was like when they played Cleveland. Just, it's so much more fun to watch those games.
It's fun to watch a competitive game where the other team is
good, too.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep. And the playoffs are going to be great.
But how do you feel about your Red Sox against those Astros?
I feel the same way I have felt since April on this team. You know, when they're killing everybody and it's you know, and, 50 over 500, I'm like, I'm dubious. I'm not buying in. When they come back against the Braves, and all that, I'm not buying in. And when they lose 2 out of 3 to the Astros, I don't get too down either. It's like
fair.
It's just good baseball. They are as good as Houston. They're as good as New York. They're as good as Cleveland. Good as Oakland. So these playoffs are going to be great. I mean, unfortunately, American League this year, you only had 5 good teams. And then, you know, Tampa and Seattle had some moments, but basically all these bottom feeders and playing those guys shows you nothing. So it's going to be a real challenge for them. They can beat anybody, but they have a lot of questions. With 3 weeks to go, I mean, the Sale thing tonight's interesting because
you're out of time. There's no more setbacks.
Yeah.
You can't afford one now.
No, so now it's going to have to be okay, and either they're hiding something, which if they are, they're screwed. The season's over. If he's not Sale, they're not going anywhere. So the assumption is he is Sale. They're saving bullets, bringing this along slowly. They'll build him back up to 6-7 innings, and there you go. You've got your guy. And that starts tonight. Meanwhile, they've got to figure out, I mean, the bullpen, clearly. The best solution is have every starter go 9. Unfortunately, you have a cast of starters, none of whom have ever won a playoff start.
Right.
So that's an issue. The middle relief, I mean, we don't know whether it's going to be Evaldi picking up those 2 innings, Eddie Rodriguez.
Well,
what's that? Now Stephen Wright, and my head explodes.
Hey, what are they looking at with Stephen Wright there? Was that a Tesco the other night? Just to take a peek at it, say,
yeah.
Is this a possibility, people?
And you saw a strike 3 clang off the glove in runner's advance. I mean, that's a strike 3.
That's fun.
I mean, this is like...
That's life with a knuckleballer.
I hate a knuckleballer in the playoffs. There's no way you could bring him into an inning. I mean, you could have maybe try a clean inning and get a couple innings, and now you've had, you know, Sale throwing 98, and then you bring in the knuckleball. You really, you know, mess up their timing, all that stuff. I guess. I don't like it. I hate knuckleballs in the playoffs. The games are... There's too few games, 5-game series. You give one away. And if he comes down with 2 men on and doesn't have it that night, 3-run bomb, forget about it. I'm not down with it. It's a bad solution. But, you know, I mean, Barnes has the hip thing now. Please don't anybody mention Thornburg or Kelly We don't want to see him in any high leverage thing. And it's just, how do you win a World Series without a bullpen? You can't do it. And they don't have one right now.
They're about to try.
Yeah.
They're about to give it a try.
Yep.
Josh Donaldson got moved on the 31st of August, and the Red Sox and Yankees have complained to Major League Baseball.
I need a deep dive on this. What are they complaining about?
Okay, the Red Sox and Yankees voiced displeasure to Major League Baseball about the events that occurred before and after the Donaldson trade from the Blue Jays to the Indians on August 31st. This according to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. The Astros also asked the commissioner's office for clarification on why baseball allowed the deal. And we're satisfied with the response, sources said. Others in baseball also believe the commissioner's office handled the matter appropriately. But some told The Athletic they were upset by the turn of events. The Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, and Athletics stand to lose the most if Donaldson helps the Indians. The Astros are the Indians' likely division series opponent. To the irritated clubs, Donaldson's status amounted to a contradiction. He was sufficiently recovered from a left calf injury to go on revocable trade waivers and get dealt, but not healthy enough to join the Indians immediately, requiring another trip to the disabled list. So what they're saying is a guy who was hurt was basically traded, and they don't like that.
So he didn't clear waivers, but if he had been waived, Cleveland would have been ahead of all those, well, not ahead of Oakland. I'm not really understanding the distinction. Like, why couldn't...
Here's what they're saying.
Why couldn't Boston or New York have traded for him?
I guess what they're basically saying is that he wasn't healthy, right? And so all of a sudden he became healthy so that he could get moved before September 1st when he wasn't actually healthy.
But they had... Boston and New York had... Everybody had an equal chance to trade for him.
As far as I know.
And not to mention the fact that the resources of Boston and New York... to do everything they want all the time and have all their mistakes forgiven compared to Cleveland. Now, that's not Boston, New York's fault, but it's the reality. They are not in a... again, I'm trying to comprehend what the bitch is here, and I'm having trouble with it, but it sounds like Cry Me a River as far as that goes. And, I mean, I love the Tribe. I mean, this is going to be interesting. You know, it's the last year of Chief Wahoo. I think they might win because of that.
You know, they got that working for them. They got that mojo.
Yeah, goofy little guy's gone at the end of the World Series this year. So
what if you win it? You bring him back?
No, but I think
what kind of merch will you sell? What kind of merch will you move
when
on it?
When they went to Toronto,
World champion he
was,
merch.
He was gone when they went to Toronto. There's an issue in Toronto, some sort of a lawsuit. Yeah. So he didn't appear in Toronto last week. But this is it. This is it for the Chief. So this could be the Tribe's year. They have to get the bullpen straightened out. Cody Allen didn't look good when he's here, and Miller's still been...
So the date that the Blue Jays deemed Donaldson healthy was the 29th.
Yep.
And that's what you needed to do to be able to place him on revocable trade waivers. That was why they needed to get him considered healthy by that point. So the allegation is he should have never been allowed to be put on the waivers because he wasn't actually healthy. So he should not have moved, and the Indians should not have the player. That the Blue Jays should have been stuck with the guy because he was hurt.
Once he gets the status, is he not available to every team? Or did they think it was insider trading with Cleveland and Toronto, and we're just making up the rules here about his status because we want to do this deal with him?
Well, they're saying they're making up that they lied about his health status and that was what allowed for him to actually be traded.
But how was Cleveland...
See, I don't think the Red Sox or Yankees wanted the player. They just didn't want anybody else to have the player. Is what it seems to me.
And
they didn't want Cleveland.
How
to
was
have
Cleveland
the
unfairly favored in this?
Because they're saying that there was a maneuvering of the rules. There was a little bit of cheating and lying going on here.
Hmm.
That he wasn't healthy. He shouldn't have been allowed to be put on the waivers, and they did it. And it was obvious that he wasn't healthy based on the fact that you have to be put on the team's active roster when you get traded. And then the Indians immediately DL'd him, which proved their point.
Interesting.
That he wasn't
about
healthy.
All this.
He should not have been allowed to go on the waivers.
He went through all that Pomerantz stuff too in the past. So just
adds to the grind.
Unusual. Whoa, I almost said it. Never mind.
I hope he hits five homers now.
That's close, Jim.
No, that's just the Red Sox Yankees are on slippery slope here. You know, nobody wants to hear them complaining about this.
Yeah, especially, the Red Sox.
Right.
Like, you don't have enough?
You got the highest payroll in baseball.
What's your problem?
You got caught cheating with the Apple Watches last year.
You really think that Josh Donaldson's going to change things for the
Well,
Indians?
I think it's...
Well, you could add something.
One three-run homer to knock you out,
come
sure.
On. Give me a break. Stop complaining.
Tito, I know how to use them.
617-779-0985. Dan, I sense from your column that you think, and what you said about Gasper, what you could tell him about making picks, is ho-hum, another tomato can type of year for the Patriots.
Oh, my God. It's just, I'm sorry.
You know. Save it. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Radio 617-779-0985. We're going to get to Shaughnessy's call in a moment. I do want to get some of your calls because you've been waiting. Sam is in the car. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to start by saying I had to be one of the happiest people on the planet when Patricia got the head job over at Detroit, which yesterday just proved a lot of us were right. And the second thing is Bill O'Brien, if you look at going back, whatever it was that he had the drive to nowhere when he was with the Pats, he pretty much did something very similar this last game, which was the score or the time was like 3 to 4 minutes left. And They were just taking their time, huddling up. They're down by 2 scores. They're not moving the ball. And basically, he did the same thing. And then on fourth down, he got very lucky that we fumbled that punt. He didn't go on fourth down, which that fumble really saved his backside. But that's all I have, guys. Again, great show. Good talking to you.
All right, Sam. Appreciate the call. I think it's a little too early on Matt Patricia to be claiming.
What
he is as a head coach or what he was here in New England as a result of what you see of him as a head coach.
And sometimes,
and by the way, sometimes coordinators don't make good head coaches. Josh McDaniels is a terrific coordinator. He had a really bad go of it as a head coach the first time. Does that mean he wasn't good for the Patriots or isn't good for the Patriots now? I don't think that's the case.
Right. Right. And I mean, it's one game. And I've been on some of those lopsided ones, and sometimes it's better to get your ass waxed the way that they did because you quickly get over that. Like, okay, nothing we can do. That game was over fourth quarter. Those ones at the end when you lose on the final seconds, like you do, or the way you force Pittsburgh into throwing that pick,
right?
Those things tend to stick with you and haunt you. And if you don't have a good locker room and you don't have guys in there that are going to continually not refer to that for like the next 2 weeks, you hear what the Steelers did. They were pissed about that. They were pissed the way they handled the end of the game. They were putting on Roethlisberger, and they had to deal with all that all the way up through the playoffs.
Dan writes yesterday in the Boston Globe, what was true last year and the year before that is still true today. Nothing has changed. The Patriots are going to get where they want to go this year
on
the merits of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, plus the unwavering buffoonery of their opponents, like death, taxes, and the first penalty in the old Montreal Forum. You could depend on the guy on the other sideline throwing up on his shoes every week.
Every week. Oh, my God. How about the play calling to the tight end when you have DeAndre Hopkins, who actually caught pretty much everything you threw to him, even with Gilmore all over his back, and you're throwing it to the stiff tight end on a post corner, and then a fourth down, you go to it, and you run a post route with him. Just dumb. Dumb play calling.
You know, Sundays,
kick the ball.
Sundays,
take the points.
Easy Patriots victory over the Texans was a great case in point. It was more of the same stuff we've been telling you for the last 15 years. Smart, accomplished football men lose all of their grid acumen at the very sight of Belichick and Brady. It is a certainty. As the years have unfolded, the Patriots have become less talented, less deep, and less dominant. But it does not matter. New England can no longer overwhelm teams on sheer ability, but the coaching disparity across the league is greater than ever.
Like, Patricia couldn't fluster Sam Darnold, his first start. How's he going to fluster Brady?
Can you go over the list? Keep going, Beatles.
You want me to keep going?
I get some good mojo here. Keep going. The list.
Remember the words of these leaders? That's what you're going for? Napoleon? You've printed these before.
Yeah.
This is great. You can just recycle this.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Take it.
Please.
Right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Never interrupt your enemy when he is making a mistake.
That's number one.
General, how do you say this? Sun Tzu?
The Art of War.
Yeah. If you wait by the river long enough, the bodies of your enemies will float by.
Mystic River.
Houston coach Bill O'Brien. That's not my job to call a timeout to make their job easier. Whatever you are going to write, you are going to write. These are questions for Al Riveron and the NFL, not for me.
No, they are not. That is for you, Coach.
That's amazing.
Come on, you know better. That you is taught, amazing. As Zoe said, you taught the guy to do this, to exploit this, to exploit the stupidity of the other team. Run up there and snap the ball.
Plan. You had this as part of your game plan that you practiced on Friday. We do that walkthrough practice on Friday. Go over everything that we implemented. Then we do a two-minute drill, and then we do the big play drill where there's no time left. Coach gives a scenario. Here's how many timeouts you have. You guys just hit a 47-yarder. What do? You
we'll clock run up it, and
or do you go,
it.
You clock it. And it's called Arapahoe. He's probably looking at his play sheet, and Brady hits it to Gronk, and Brady's screaming probably, Arapahoe, 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 and they're all getting set, boom.
You named the play, and you're still claiming it doesn't exist. I mean,
well,
really.
It's not his job.
Oh, God, it's not his job.
How do you
stop the clock?
My job is to stop the clock, give my team a chance.
Three in his pocket. Three in his pocket.
Yeah, good thing he took those in the locker room with him. Bill, what do you do with them at halftime?
This is one of my favorite
What, you put them between two
Later
s'mores?
In the story,
and
you say,
a piece of chocolate?
A lot of Patriots fans despise this narrative. Why do you keep writing the same story, they ask? Because the same thing keeps happening.
Change it.
Game after game, year after year, decade after decade. In 2018, the Patriots players are not that much better than the other NFL players, but the coaching disparity has never been greater. It is the ultimate weapon in NFL warfare. Opponents are spooked. They lose their minds, and they lose almost every game against the Patriots. Next week, Jacksonville. In last year's AFC Championship game, the Jaguars blew a 20-10 lead in the fourth quarter in Foxborough. They were stupid. They were tagged for six penalties for 98 yards, including pass interference calls of 37 and 36 yards. The Patriots were flagged once for 10 yards. Mm. Your turn, Doug Marone. Keep the barf bag handy in your back pocket.
And it will happen again. It's just amazing. What happens to these guys?
So after this weekend, if it goes the way you expect it to, Patriots will be 2-0 with two of their best five teams on their schedule already knocked off.
With the road trip to the rugged Lions coming up. Wow. Now we got to worry about the Jets, though. Got two against that wagon.
Do you think Sam Darnold is going to change this division?
No, but I love what I saw last night.
Ever? You don't think he's ever going to change?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's coming.
Yeah.
It gives you hope.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to say that, sure.
Here's the thing. You go back to when Miami drafted freaking Ryan Tannehill in the first round. What a stupid pick that was. And you could just tell after the first start, you don't have the same impressions as you did with Darnold. Like, okay, you got an athlete that's going to try and manage games and statistically get better. That's your ceiling with Miami. That's it. That's not the next Marino. They're still looking for the next Marino. I joke with this with Danny every time I see him. How many quarterbacks now, Dan? 27 since you retired? They're still looking, buddy. And he loves it. He smiles. He goes, of course they are. Even though he's picking them. He's part of the advisement process. But you watch a kid play last night. He's got a little something.
21 years old.
You never thought that would take
him. I love that.
617-779-0985. Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, just to touch on Sam Darnold, what makes it worse for the Giants is they actually loved him. Out of all the top quarterbacks, that's the one they raved about. So they let the guy that they loved go for a running back. And to make it worse, it's not like Eli Manning is Tom Brady. The guy's not an MVP. He stinks. He lost the game from the other day because he missed Odell Beckham twice in the end zone. So that just makes it 10 times worse.
You know, that's a great point you bring up. Like, you actually have statistical stuff, and you could look at the play of Eli, and you could see that it's declined. You can't do that with Brady. And that's part of why Garoppolo's not here. So you rolled the dice for a three-year window to draft a running back, fantastic running back. Saquon Barkley, I love him. I think he's the best back in the business other than Le'Veon Bell, and he will be. But are you going to continually win games that way post-Manning? So you're trying to give Eli a running game. Would that work out for you in your home opener? You still lost 20-15. You put a 15 on the board at home. That's tough. And it should have been better than that.
Hardy has our headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're back with the noontime hour with Dan Shaughnessy. A couple of new receivers coming to town, Dan. Do you know anything about Corey Coleman?
Nothing.
Why don't we fill you in on Corey Coleman?
Thank you. I could use that.
Give you a little background on Corey Coleman and who he is and what we know about him. He likes shoes. That's in 90 seconds. Yes.